Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another bite-sized political podcast. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this, hit the heart button. Let me know you enjoy the content. And, you know, I will do anything. In fact, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. And, of course, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm talking about the death yesterday of the legendary rock singer, rock and roll singer, probably best to give him his title, Meatloaf, who died aged 74, quite young, really, in the greater scheme of things. That was a sad moment. He died with his family by his side, his agent has confirmed. He was born, actually, although Meatloaf was his stage name, he was born Marvin Lee Adde, later changed it to Michael Adde. So he died with his wife at his side. The media have been feverishly speculating. He died of COVID. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I just wanted to say and pay my own small tribute to the work that he and Jim Steinman did. The amazing 1977 album, Bat Out of Hell, with all those amazing songs on it, and not least the apocryphal title track. And of course, then back in 93, he came Bat Out of Hell 2, Back into Hell, and that produced the massive international number one single, I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. I mean, Meatloaf was an amazing performer. Jim Steinman was an amazing writer of like rock opera type music, you know, and I think the Bat Out of Hell trilogy, the final album was released in 2006. So that was three albums around the Bat Out of Hell. They sold 65 million copies worldwide. They made extremely wealthy men out of Meatloaf and Jim Steinman, rightly so. They produced stuff that people wanted to read, listen to. There's been some very kind tributes, written to him. In fact, I enjoyed Andrew Lloyd Webber said, "The vaults of heaven will be ringing with rock. Give my best to Jim." That was nice. Pete Waterman called him a larger-than-life character with a unique voice. He actually, he lost a lot of weight in later years. I know in the early years he was carrying a few pounds, so to speak. Bonnie Tyler, who of course recorded another Jim Steinman song, which arguably was written for Meatloaf, Total Eclipse of the Heart, said he had the stage presence to match, one of those rare people who truly was a one-off talent and personality. So it goes, and there's lots of good nice things being said about him, which is good to see. This is how people should be remembered, It should be remembered well. Yes, there were things along the road. Yes, Steinman and Meatloaf had the most outrageous legal battles with each other. That's kind of how it works, I think, in the crazy rock and roll circus. He's survived by his wife, Deborah, and his daughter and his stepdaughter. So I'm sure this is a sad time for them. One final comment, which I wanted to quote to you, he characterized the public perception of his act. He says that people say I'm overblown, pompous, melodramatic, self-indulgent. I've heard it a million times. And the first person to describe me like that was me. It's supposed to be overblown. The entire history of rock and roll is comedy. Rock and roll was never meant to answer the questions of the universe. It's a laugh. I'm a laugh, so laugh at me if you like. I have no problem with that. So, okay, that's what he said, and it's all very touching and so on and so forth. But what I wanted to turn to was the COVID dimension to this. Because, you see, the thing about Meatloaf was that he was not typical of the showbiz class, let's say. For example, he did appear on Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. He said nice things about Donald Trump. He said Donald Trump was a very intelligent man who surrounded himself with really good people. Well, that was never going to get Meatloaf very far, was it? And then latterly, in the past couple of years, as the COVID tyranny reared its ugly head, even though by that point Meatloaf had serious health issues, but he did make it clear that he was scared of COVID, but he didn't believe in living his life, you know, sort of hiding under the stairs. He didn't believe in the authoritarian lockdowns, the removal of liberties. He didn't agree with that. Now, he never let it be known if he'd taken the jabs or not. I don't know. And I guess nobody knows apart from me. Well, nobody knows apart from, I presume, his family and his doctor. But if you jump onto the hellhole that is Twitter yesterday, you would have seen people celebrating his death. Yeah, they were celebrating his death. Why is that? He was an anti-science bigot. He liked Trump. Really? That's how you mark the death of this man? That's what you've got to say? Yeah, yeah. That's why we's on Twitter. Twitter enables us to spew our hatred. And that's another reason why Twitter is such a hateful, obscene channel. It encourages the very worst of humanity. So when, in a case like this, an entertainer dies. Now, of course, it's not mandatory that you like his music. Some people may have thought his stuff was rubbish. That's fine. But there will be millions and millions and millions of people over many, many decades who really enjoyed the stuff that he sang and the performances and who went to see him live and all of that. And actually, I think as far as I know, there is a stage show, Bat Out of Hell, touring the UK in the spring. So there's a legacy living on there, but you don't have to like him. But I just thought it was appalling to see the usual, you know, purple-haired bedwetters from the left, the feral left, on Twitter saying, yeah, I'm glad he's dead. I'm glad. Why are you glad he's dead? He liked Trump. So what? Trump just won a presidential election back in November 2020. What are you complaining about? He hated science. He hated science. Yeah, he didn't take the jab. How do you know? We know. That's the sort of stuff that's been going on. I find it appalling. You know, quite honestly, you know, in these moments of when someone loses their life and, you know, you should think the best of people. You shouldn't think the worst of people. We've all got bad sides to us. None of us is perfect, least of all me. But all I'm saying is that, you know, I read the stories about this man. I enjoyed reading the nice tributes, emphasizing the positive things to his life. And there was a lot of things to like, as I say. And latterly, he turned out to be a freedom warrior as well. He may have taken the vaccine. He may not have taken the vaccine. That's not the point. He didn't believe in coercion and he didn't believe in authoritarianism. And for those things, we should think positively about of him. And as for the rats on Twitter that have nothing better to do, well, it speaks more volumes of them. I suspect they'll be the people going back into hell. Thanks for listening.